Is there a golden age other than the millennium? Some people think there is.
The golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, Jen Markell talks to Mark Henry about two current issues. God's last day's timetable is not on hold. The predicted things to come may be delayed, but will play out as predicted. In part two, Ken Michael reports from Down Under and talks to Billy Crone and Mondo Gonzalez. Here is today's programming.
I criticize a whole viewpoint of only money and deals without understanding that I'm not worried about Israel. I'm worried about any country that positioning itself against Israel, especially countries that were given the mandate to stand by Israel. And this is why my concern for steps of President Trump and my concern for decisions that perceives as throwing Israel under the bus or stuff like that, this is not because I'm against Trump. I'm not. As I said before, I take him in his worst day over Kamala's in her best day. I still believe it's a great administration compared to the one we had before. I just wish that there will be the right people to consult him when it comes to Israel, because Israel is not just a country. It's not just something that either stay away from or be all over. Israel is God's place and the way God is testing the nations. And I think America was given the mandate to stand by Israel. And when we look at Ezekiel war, the only reason why Russia and Iran and Turkey will come against Israel is because America will not be able or will not be willing to stand by Israel. It's so obvious. So all I'm saying is that pay attention. It's not just another country. It's the things of God that affects your country, that affects your people. I know the end of the story when it comes to Israel. I know exactly what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen to Israel. But we care for that administration and for the outcome of its decisions and the way it affects the American people also and the rest of the people around the world.
So welcome to the program. I'm going to consider actually a couple of related topics in part one of the programming. And you could say that a golden age is predicted in the Bible. Matthew 24 talks about a time of eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. At least a time of end time prosperity. I think we could probably leave it at that. Also, major news out of the Middle East and President Trump's historic trip there. And I want to make some comments about that. As Amir Sarfati said in that opening clip, along with Barry Stagner, that America has been given a mandate to stand with Israel and a blessing promised. So is America beginning to move away from Israel under the direction of the most pro-Israel U.S. president in U.S. history, Donald Trump? Is he being represented poorly by possibly Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff? Remember, none of these men are operating with a biblical perspective. I wrote this, just a paragraph, in my print magazine, Spring. I said this, so many suggest that we have entered this golden age, maybe a reprieve. Has Satan's agenda been put on hold? Is the rapture now on hold? Do you think that the globalists are going to relax and willingly turn their agenda over to President Donald Trump? Do you think the World Economic Forum or the United Nations plan to take a four-year hiatus and go quietly into the night? Do you think that Yuval Noah Harari will fade away because he acknowledged, this is some time ago, he said that a Trump victory would be the end of the global order? So has that happened because of Donald Trump's election back in November? To all of the above, well, I'm going to have to say a resounding no way. Let's always remember that God's agenda never pauses. It is never on hold. So we're going to talk about two or three different issues this segment. Joining me today, again, is Pastor Mark Henry. co-host of our frequent Understanding the Times one-night conferences here in the Twin City area the last 4 years. He pastors both Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and the 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. And we are just off of one of those events this past week with Pastor Jeff Kinley. Mark Henry, welcome back to the program today.
Good to be with you, Jan.
So we're just off of another Understanding the Times, our fourth year, if I can believe that. Your thoughts on the last week?
The Lord's really blessed. We had a great pastor's huddle. We had over 40 pastors, 17 wives. Their hearts were encouraged, grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Want to encourage you, pastors, jump in on the next one. Going to be coming up in October. And I think we've got some DVDs coming up for that Thursday night event as well, Jan, so people can see it.
And they can go to olivetreeviews.org and go to video. They can find the evening in its entirety on YouTube, on Rumble, on markhenryministries.com. Always appreciate Jeff Kinley. He is one of the brightest lights in the world of eschatology. I know you would agree.
Yeah, he's a great servant of the Lord, and he's a good theologian. And it's just a joy to see him handle the Word of God and then think about how that plays out in these current days.
So jumping to the comment that opened the program, and that's President Donald Trump talking about he's going to bring about a golden age, and maybe you and I would just look at that as, what does he mean, peace and prosperity? All we have to do is look around at the world, and the depressing issues, the discouraging issues are staggering. So I don't think this is a golden age. What do you think he means?
Number one, he's not speaking from a theological standpoint. What he's saying is, hey, we've got DOGE out there and they're cutting and slashing the deficit and so forth. And we've got $10 trillion coming to the United States, and we got economic revitalization. Praise God for that. And our military is being revitalized. And this is a huge game changer. That's how he's viewing it. But you and I view it from a theological standpoint that ultimately living under a curse, doesn't matter how good a country you have, it's still in a fallen world. It's still in a broken world. And we're looking forward to Jesus' coming. And when he comes, he's going to set up the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And yet sin will still be there. He's going to rule and reign through all of that, Jan. And then we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth where the curse is removed and there's a new Jerusalem. It is going to be amazing. No one's going to be disappointed with the age that Jesus brings.
Mm-hmm. So then, is this just political bloviation, so to speak, to declare a golden age? I think every politician says that in different words, probably.
Yeah, we get lots of promises. There's always promises. In fact, you look back in history, the communists are always promising utopia and so forth. But what's unique about this situation is Donald Trump really does have a plan. The Bible warns about being a slave when you spend money you don't have. And our country has become a slave. We've spent our children's inheritance. We've talked about the corruption that we've seen in the deep state and the cover-up, for example, with Biden. All of these things are really evil things that have to be exposed. Justice has to be served. And if we do that, we're going to be a much better off country. Remember what it says in Proverbs, that when the wicked rule, the people groan.
Yes.
But when the righteous rule, there is joy. And so we are moving in the right direction in so many different ways, including our relationship to Israel.
And I heard your message given at the Orlando Prophecy Conference. The one I heard was Fearless Faith for the End Times, subtitle Armageddon and the End of the New World Order. And it focused quite heavily on President Trump and actually why he won. And no, folks, this isn't a political statement. This isn't a political segment. You were looking at it from practical terms, Mark. And one of the important points, they were all important, that you highlighted is he won in part to help Israel secure the peace prophesied in Ezekiel 38:11. Why don't you explain that?
In Ezekiel, we find the hordes of the north and surrounding countries are going to come against Israel. And their purpose is to plunder. Israel's going to prosper. There describes them having a lot of assets, cattle, gold, etc. And all of the hordes are going to come. Now, it describes Israel in a state of utter peace. In fact, it says that they've taken down the walls from around their cities. They're living in this wonderful utopia at this particular moment. And I would suggest that as we have prayed for Israel and as we look in God's prophetic calendar, that there's going to be some leader on the world scene who's going to broker some peace. Now,
yes,
he's not the Antichrist. That's a whole other peace deal. But he's going to set things up so that Israel can have a time of peace and prosperity before the Gog-Magog battle, before the tribulation takes place. And so I think uniquely, and I think even some of the things we've seen in these last 2 weeks of God using President Trump to set up a situation where Israel's going to find themselves at a greater level of peace, especially when you think about area like Gaza, the West Bank. How does Israel find any peace as long as there's conflict? I mean, that's right in their backyard. And I think God's going to use Donald Trump to sort some of these things out.
So this is written, it's two paragraphs by Jonathan Brentner, one of the best online writers I know of, and he says this: while it might be tempting to think there's been a pause in the mad rush of events leading up to the start of the tribulation period, the elite power brokers of our world remain busy. They are working behind the scenes to quickly set the stage for when they can openly enslave the world under their domain. It's tempting to think that way. I have found myself wondering if perhaps there's a pause in the parade of events leading to Jesus soon appearing. However, two thoughts bring me back to reality. First, I remember Jesus' assertion that the fulfillment of Bible prophecy will happen at the time sovereignly set by the Father, Matthew 24, and then number of verses. God knows the precise time he will send his son back to get his bride, to bring her to glory. He already took into consideration all that we see happening today when he long ago set the time for our departure from this world. Second, Brentner says, I'm aware that a strong undercurrent in world affairs remains, which after the rapture will directly lead to the Antichrist's covenant with Israel, which will mark the beginning of the seven-year tribulation for the world. The lawlessness of those who seek to destroy our nation remains on full display. So I think, Mark Henry, there's the perception by many that the re-election of Donald Trump put a pause on some of the skullduggery going on behind the scenes of evil and conniving and bringing about some of the Antichrist kingdom. It's only on pause. It's never going away until it comes into fulfillment.
Jesus said the scriptures are going to be fulfilled, every jot and tittle.
Everything.
So we know that. But I think this is what people are missing, Jan, is that the globalists had an agenda that's even contrary to biblical prophecy. For example, World Economic Forum flat out said America is not going to be a superpower and China is going to be the superpower that's going to be in control. Bill Gates, all of them have worked towards that end. And yet when you read in Bible prophecy, China is not the leader during the time of the tribulation. Yeah. Europe is going to have to be restored somehow. And what's unique, again, God has raised up President Trump to cripple China in such a way that the productivity and the emphasis will come back to Europe and the Middle East, because we know that the Antichrist is coming out of there. This is so, so important, Janet, because if we had continued on the trajectory that we had been on, China would have, quite honestly, in the next 30 years, controlled much of the world. Mm. And then you say, how does that fit in Bible prophecy? Well, it doesn't. There has to be a reset to the reset. And I think that's what's happening. And I think Donald Trump has been very active. I don't see passivity. I think God is much wiser than what we give him credit for.
Jesus Christ is preparing the real golden age for believers. And that's what we need to focus on. It's called the millennium. Actually, we're going to talk about that with Nathan Jones here. I think it's even next week. But that's when the lion actually literally lies down by the lamb.
Yeah. When we think about the millennial kingdom, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. For example, Jesus comes in victory and inaugurates his whole ruling and reigning on the earth, deals with the nations. And Jan, there's going to be a trial of war crimes. He's going to deal with the Antichrist and the false prophet, throw them into the lake of fire. Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Yeah. There's going to be a great global faith initiative. Zechariah 14 says that all the nations of the world during the millennial kingdom will come and worship Jesus there in Jerusalem. There's going to be a global economic model. In Amos 9, it says that it's going to be so productive during the millennial kingdom that when the guys are still out there harvesting the wheat, the other guys are planting and they're going to bump into each other just because the productivity is going to be unlike any time we've ever seen. Or the healthcare plan that's global in Isaiah 65, where it talks about even if a child dies at 100, they died at a young age.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Pastor Mark Henry. He and I have been doing some Understanding the Times one-night events now for 4 years. Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. You can access them all at my website, on YouTube, Rumble, other places. We're just off of our event with Jeff Kinley. Mark, in the interest of time, I'm just transitioning a little bit because I want to continue with a little bit of the thoughts of Amir Sarfati, which folks heard opening the program here. And he is commenting on President Trump's recent trip to the Middle East, not Israel, but to some of the Arab empires over there. And as I transition, let me just play one more little soundbite of Amir, and then let's come back and talk about it.
You mentioned at the outset, Amir, that Trump's on a tour, and I think we'd have to hesitate to call it a political tour. It's really a business tour. He's out there cutting deals, as he would do as a real estate mogul. But everything that's been happening out there, especially in the countries that he's been visiting, has been very curious and maybe even a little bit of a revelation to the fact that 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they are spiritual. And it seems as though he's making some moves that could be viewed with some concern. And maybe you can address that issue for us today.
Well, I will not hide from you or from the audience my utter shock and disappointment from some of the moves that President Trump did. However, I will tell you now, in his worst day, I still prefer him over Kamala in her best day. It has to be very clearly stated. This is by far the most friendliest administration Israel ever had in the White House. But adding to that, we must call things the way they are and not hide things from, I don't have any allegiance to any politician. When I see things that are wrong, I call them out. I don't hide them. And I think that President Trump, from the very beginning, in the preparation for this tour, I think he made some statements and later on made some moves that were raising eyebrows in Israel and also in America, believe it or not. A lot of people are kind of concerned. And it started with the fact that he hid from us the deal with the Houthis that he had, or ceasefire with the Houthis. Now, look, President Trump doesn't need to tell us anything in advance, but it would be nice to hear it from him and not from the media. Where are the allies? And we're the ones that are getting hit by the Houthis. And basically what Trump basically said is, as far as we're concerned, the Houthis can fire at Israel. We're not going to take sides here. As long as they don't fire at us or at commerce ships, we're okay. The fact that, by the way, the Houthis just shut down another MQ-9 $30 million UAV, American UAV, they shut it down. I guess you have to turn a blind eye to that one. But I will tell you, it's probably liberating for us. If you really think about it, from now on, Israel will have to take care of business without having to even coordinate anything with America, because it's going to be our planes alone in the skies of Yemen.
That was Amir Sarfati, and accompanying him, Pastor Barry Stegner, in one of their online updates. Now let me read one paragraph written by Bill Koenig. You hear him on this program very, very often. And Bill has written several books on this particular topic, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, along those lines. And he says, Qatar, and this is some of the nations that the president visited, Qatar remains one of the primary financial backers of the Muslim Brotherhood, a globalist Islamist movement with ties to political radicalism. They own Al Jazeera, the largest news network in the Middle East. They have been accused of being mouthpiece for Hamas, and Israel shut them down from broadcasting in the country. Saudi Arabia's decades-long export of the Wahhabi doctrine has helped shape hardline Sunni ideologies across the globe. The United Arab Emirates, while more moderate in tone, maintains an authoritarian stance on religious and political freedoms and has sought to export its model of state-controlled Islam. Koenig concludes, the prophetic implications are chilling. America is aligning itself politically and financially with nations whose core ideologies are hostile to Christianity and Judeo-Christian values. And as Scripture warns, there are consequences for those who bless or curse Israel, Genesis 12:3. With all of that, Mark Henry, give me your perspective to what we've just heard by way of soundbite and others who are commenting on the president's trip now 10 days ago, but I think it had lasting implications.
Jan, we got to affirm, number one is Genesis chapter 12. If you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. If you curse, you're going to be cursed. And all of us agree on that, and all of us see the importance of blessing Israel. I think, Jan, that we need to take a step back just a little bit.
Sure.
And realize that, number one, it was said there in one of the clips that he's acting like a businessman. Well, he's the president of the United States, and he has a responsibility to go and actually meet with other countries and to work out various deals, both economic and so forth. But I think this is really important. What was the very first thing that President Trump did? He met with Israel, the prime minister of Israel. It was tremendous. And all of us covered that and all of us celebrated. We have Huckabee as our ambassador to Israel. We're committed to helping Israel. In fact, they just delivered a whole bunch of munitions that Israel has needed to defend themselves against the Houthis, against Iran, against everybody in Gaza. So there's no doubt economically, financially, morally, ethically, we are all right there. And I think President Trump is there. I think the actions speak louder than this situation. Now, what I would suggest is he does have to go deal with those other nations. If Israel is going to strike Iran, if that is necessary in the days ahead, They're going to be flying over airspace of other countries. We've got one of our largest military bases right there in Qatar. That's right in the middle of all of this. And so you've got to deal with all of these at these different levels. Not only that, but he came back with over $1 trillion of commitments to our economy. Yes. And this is really important. You do not have a great military to be able to defend yourself or Israel without a great economy. And we've just come off of president after president trying to destroy our economy, which makes us weaker, which jeopardizes Israel. So praise God that we're cutting the fat here, reducing government, dealing with the fraud, dealing with the waste, trying to build back an economy that not only allows us to have a strong military, but a strong military that helps protect Israel. And I think that's what we're going to see ultimately in the end.
So this probably was historic economically, bringing back $1 trillion, possibly historic politically, not historic spiritually.
Well, it's historic spiritually if this is part of what's necessary to get to Ezekiel 38:11.
Good point.
You see, at some point, and I listened to many of the lectures that President Trump gave, every one of those countries says, hey, look, guys, we've got to normalize your relationships with Israel. You can't be fighting with our friends over here. And he said that over and over again through his tour. And when you're talking about how they responded to him, Jan, this is so important. You remember when Obama became president and he went over to the Middle East and he bowed down before all of these leaders and demonstrated that America was subservient to them. And that's how it was interpreted. And that's how come we've had these wars and conflicts and Israel's been in danger. But when President Trump goes over there now and they're putting up the American flag and they're playing the Star Spangled Banner and they're honoring him, I'm just telling you, Israel is safer today than at any time in my life.
Good point, Mark. I really appreciate that perspective. I'm playing one more clip here, and it ties in with everything we've talked about here, at least in this part two of my segment. And this happens to be Tucker Carlson. He's got some intriguing comments, but when he starts talking about Israel, you can hear the edge in his voice.
But on the question of Israel, it's like, I like Israel. I've been there a number of times, taking my family there on vacation. They're going again soon. We're Christians. They want to go to Jerusalem. I got it. And I have a million friends who both live in Israel and who love Israel. So I don't want to have a fight about Israel at all, just at all. So I've really tried not to have that fight, but I don't want the United States to enter in another unwinnable Middle Eastern war. I just really, really don't, especially now. We don't even have the ammo for it. So whatever, there's a lot. But anyway, I have been like attacked in ways that are so crazy that, and it's totally coordinated from Israel. So I finally, the other day, I called someone I know in the Israeli government. There are great people in the Israeli government. I called one of them and I said, stop this. Like, I am not your enemy. You don't think you have enough enemies?
Yeah.
What? You have like real enemies. I've gone out of my way. And by the way, it's our weapons being used.
No, I know you have.
In Gaza. So I have every right to say, you have a dispute with your neighbor and you want to get medieval on him. Do it on your own dime. Do it with your own weapons. I'm not paying for that. That's a totally fair position as an American taxpayer who pays like way more than his share in taxes. Like, I have a right to do that. I haven't done that because I don't want to fight. But I've been attacked anyway. And these creepy people taking direct orders from a foreign government are attacking me on the internet. And I wouldn't care except this specific slur affects my personal life. Like, a really old friend of mine, 35-year-old friend, I can't believe what they're saying. Is this true? Is it true that I'm an anti-Semite? No, of course it's not. What are you even saying? So they've gotten to me. So that's made me upset. So I called up and I was like, you guys got to stop. We're not doing that. I'm almost 56. I know how the world works. Please stop. Well, and I was like, if you think I'm your main enemy in a world that really hates you, I mean, they're right about that. A lot of people really do hate Israel. I'm not one of them. Mm-hmm. If you think I'm the problem, you've gone off the deep end. You're insane. Like, I am showing restraint.
Tucker Carlson again, Mark, trying to present himself as a friend of Israel, and yet you can tell by the tone of his voice, he can't stand that country. He's got a problem.
Well, he said in the clip there that he's a Christian, and I can't see someone's heart, but he's grown up in the Episcopal Church.
Yeah,
and
correct.
If you've grown up in the Episcopal Church, you'd believe that the church has replaced Israel,
that's
and
right.
So Israel doesn't have a future in God's prophetic timetable and et cetera. So it's not surprising. Now, this is, I think, important, Jan. He doesn't see Israel as important, the people that God has a plan for. And therefore, the Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, you know, I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse. He just views it like any other country. And so what's unique about this war is that October 7th, they were attacked. Talk about going medieval, saying Israel's going medieval. No, these people went barbaric and medieval. And Israel has every right to defend itself. It should neutralize all of those threats. And quite honestly, America doesn't have the backbone anymore, the moral courage to actually deal with real threats. Tucker's a great guy, but he's got it wrong when it comes to Israel. Israel not only has the right, we should be standing with Israel with the whole situation that's unfolding.
My concern, Mark Henry, is that he represents millions of people. Millions of people in the church, even. They don't know theology any more than Tucker Carlson knows proper theology.
That's not surprising. Why? Because all through history, if you look through Israel's history, they had the prophets, they had Moses, they had Joshua, and a lot of times their theology wasn't right, and they chased into idolatry. And every dispensation, Jan, doesn't matter if you look at the first dispensation of innocence or the dispensation of conscience or dispensation of law, God's people tend to end up blowing it. And it's not surprising that even though we have the Holy Spirit, and even though we have the Word of God, and even though we have more books on the Bible than any time in history, that a lot of people are going to get it wrong. It just shows the unfaithfulness of man and the kindness of God to bring about his promises.
Again, Mark and I have been co-hosts along with Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz at the Understanding the Times conference this past week with Jeff Kinley. Find it online on our Rumble channel, YouTube channel, our websites, olivetreeviews.org. Go to video and go to markhenryministries.com to see that event. We will have a DVD next week for it. You can just call my office or see the online store. And Mark, thank you so much for coming in today to take part one of my programming with me.
My privilege. Great to be with you, Jen.
Folks, in part two of today's program, we've got Ken Michael down under, but he's talking to two of my favorite people, Billy Crone and Mondo Gonzalez. You can be sure when those three have a three-way conversation, they're going to talk about things that matter. Stay tuned, please. They're coming back in just a minute or two.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. In a field often clouded by complexity and sensationalism, keeping track of what the Bible says about the end times can be challenging, even for seasoned believers. That's why authors Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson are here to bring you a comprehensive and user-friendly guide to the most need-to-know facts about what is to come in their new book, Answering Tough Questions About the End Times. This book is packed with charts, timelines, and infographics, and delivers clear answers to 100 of the most pressing questions about the last days. As you learn about what Bible prophecy is and where it's found in Scripture, you will also find biblically sourced overviews of forthcoming events such as the rapture, Jesus' second coming, and life in heaven. Find this book, Answering Tough Questions About the End Times, in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Face the future with confidence.
Immorality is a sign of the end of the age, lawlessness, and we're here. This is what we're trying to help people understand, to say, look around, be aware. And that's what I have found pretty powerful, is that people are like, you know, I kind of heard about all these things a little bit, but the stuff that you guys are sharing, I didn't realize that we were that far down the rabbit hole.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, we get a first-hand report from Australia. Radio co-host Ken Michael talks with Billy Crone and Mondo Gonzalez. Here's the balance of today's programming.
What we're creating is this AI theocracy. Most of us know a theocracy where government and religion come together to rule, right? Iran's a theocracy. We know Saudi Arabia is a theocracy. Islam rules. They make the laws and they're in government. That's what we're seeing right now. AI technology is going to become the religion of the future. And what's happening right now is even the developers are warning us what's coming. This is going to be incredible what they're about to unleash on the population.
The rise of artificial intelligence, AI, has reignited ancient theological and philosophical debates about creation, divinity, and human nature. One of the most profound questions in this discussion is whether humans, in their desire to be more like God, have created AI as a form of human-made God.
I think the irony is that we told stories of God creating us, and I think the reality is that we are creating God. We are creating God in the form of superintelligence. If you just say, what have we imagined God to be? What are its characteristics? We are building God in the form of technology. It will have the same characteristics. And so I think the irony is that human storytelling got it exactly in reverse, that we are the creators of God and we will create God in our own image, which is why we should probably be equal to this moment and level up our game and be an improved species.
Elon Musk has his brain chips, right? And why would we want to put brain chips in? Well, according to Elon Musk and other developers, technology is advancing so fast that by the time it's getting up and running fully, the human brain won't be able to process all the information fast enough. And so these chips will be able to process information 20 times faster. Not only process information, but download information. How cool is that? You want to know a new language? Boom, download Spanish. I know Spanish. And then they have the metahumans that they're creating right now. And you should see these things. They're very lifelike, and they talk and they interact.
What can you tell us about your purpose?
Realbotix robots, including me, focus on social intelligence, customizability, and realistic human features designed specifically for companionship and intimacy.
Welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Josh Schwartz, and back with me, finally, is Ken Michael, and we have a special guest with us today, Sam Hatling. Ken and Sam just returned from Australia and New Zealand. They had a great trip, and today we're going to discuss what they did and how impactful it was, not only for them, but for the people of Australia and New Zealand. Ken, Sam, welcome back.
It's great to be back. We had a long 2 weeks, but it was very fruitful.
Ken, can you just give us a quick overview of what you guys did, where you went, and how the Lord worked?
Yeah, so we were blessed enough to teach with Pastor Billy Crone, Mondo Gonzalez from Prophecy Watchers. And then in Melbourne, Australia, we zoomed in Pastor Tom Hughes from Hope for Our Times. And then in Auckland, New Zealand, we were able to zoom in Pastor Brandon Holthouse from Tip of the Spear Ministry, and we had a great turnout there. We'll talk about some of the experiences we had, both positive and then some of the spiritual attacks that happened over time. But we all did separate teachings on different subjects. The clip we just watched, of course, was on AI, and we know as the body of Christ that Satan is a counterfeit. And he takes everything that Christ does and says and twists it into his own demonic teaching. And I think we're seeing being developed right before our very eyes with AI is this new tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you read the book of Daniel, you read the book of Revelation, you can see the things that are coming together. And I think we all believe that the Antichrist in the last days during the tribulation is absolutely going to have AI to use for his demonic kingdom during the tribulation. Not that AI isn't being used for some good right now, but as we go along here in the program, I hope to show you that it's also going to be used for nefarious purposes.
The stage is being set, and the technology is in place for ultimate control, as we even see in Revelation chapter 13. Well, Sam, you are the technical director for a lot of our stuff that happens behind the scenes here at Olive Tree Ministries. And this was your first time in Australia and New Zealand. Can you give us some of the highlights of the trip?
Sure. So there was a couple of things that I noticed. One of them was being remnant believers, just people in general coming together when they don't really have a church to go to out there. Ken will kind of get into that a little bit later, but it was really encouraging to see people come together that have like-minded abilities on scripture about the pre-tribulation rapture, really up and supporting each other's, because it's not a very popular topic out there. A lot of pastors don't cover it. And then the other thing would be the young adult presence there. Being able to see people 30 and under coming to these events was probably one of the most encouraging things that I've seen, because personally here, I've asked people if they know about Bible prophecy or the rapture in general. And these people have been Christians their whole life and they're around my age, which is 24. And they just basically said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what that is, which is really discouraging for me, because seeing my generation not even knowing what our blessed hope is really just hurts my heart. So seeing young adults there was very, very encouraging for me, because these people are driving an hour to see each other and get together. There's a good chunk of them. So it was really, really nice meeting them.
I think it's really important to notice that there were young people there in Australia and New Zealand specifically. Yeah. We've been all over the world and all over the United States of America, and there's not many young people that show up to anything to do with Bible prophecy. So that's a great encouragement. While you guys were down there, you did some interviews while in Australia and in New Zealand. So let's listen to this clip with Ken and Mondo Gonzalez from Prophecy Watcher.
Well, we just were in Australia. We were in Melbourne and then the Gold Coast. And did you see anything different this trip than last year when we were here?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, and that we've been meeting a lot of people, no doubt. It's been incredible. And you see the people here, but what I've noticed is even with them, they very much appreciate us coming down. But it's almost like the Lord is bringing the remnant even tighter together.
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've noticed is, and they've noticed it too, in that they're like, you know, we're sharing the word, but the apostasy of the church, of the Laodicean church, is not stopping.
No.
And so these efforts that we have here to help build up and encourage the church, and I think about Paul when he says to Barnabas, you know, hey, let's go out. Let's go back again. You know, they did their first missionary journey and he wanted to go back. So he spent the time to travel, right? I kind of feel like a Paul in that sense, in that he said, let's go out and strengthen the churches and to see how they're doing. And that's really how I feel that this ministry that we're doing right now is. And as we've been sharing, and Billy has shared a lot about this also, just the technology and the witchcraft and the wickedness that's around the world. Immorality is a sign of the end of the age, lawlessness. And we're here. This is what we're trying to help people understand. They say, look around, be aware. And that's what I have found pretty powerful, is that people are like, you know, I kind of heard about all these things a little bit, but the stuff that you guys are sharing, I didn't realize that we were that far down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ken, there's a couple of things that Mondo mentioned in that clip. First off, are you seeing the darkening of the culture? Is there a rise in apostasy?
Without a doubt. First, I'd like to say the remnant there is so strong and they're sticking together. They're connecting with each other. And that's why these conferences are so prosperous, because when we go there, we get people from surrounding areas come and they connect and then they stay in touch with each other. They start their own churches. So that is so encouraging. Answer to your question on the flip side, yes, it really is. Person after person came up to us and said, we really have nothing here. There are certain points of light throughout Australia and New Zealand. There are so few rock-solid pastors. The remnant knows where to go. Some of them are on Pastor Brandon's website, so they know where they are. But it's amazing how far people traveled just to come to our conferences there. They traveled from all over New Zealand. When we were in Australia, we had some people from New Zealand that flew over. People, when they hear about this, they just want to be around like-minded people. And that's the encouraging part. That's why we make these trips. They're not easy. They're very taxing on you physically and mentally. But the fruit that we're getting from this is well worth it.
So Ken, you had a career in law enforcement, and you were telling me about a really cool conversation you had with a police officer in New Zealand.
I met Roxana. She works in a smaller department. I believe there's about 20 officers. and none of them are followers of Jesus Christ. However, she said that one of her sergeants recently started accepting what she was telling them. And I told her, I said, you are the light in that department. Yes, we go out, and yes, we want to help people and fight crime and help our citizens. However, I think God's placed her there to be a light, to share the gospel, and she realizes that. And we had an interesting conversation. I said, have you ever gone into a call and you knew something was wrong and you looked at a person and said, okay, this is more than just somebody that's crazy? And she said, oh yeah. She goes, I've felt it. She goes, I put my hands on the gate of the house I was going up to and I knew something was wrong. And when she went in there, she just felt this demonic spirit in there and she had to deal with it. And I said, I've dealt with it a number of times. My partners after a situation have gone, man, that person was nuts. That person was crazy. And I said, no, that was demonic what you just witnessed. And she's gone through the same thing. I just prayed with her and I said, Roxanna, you are the light on this department. You be the footstep of Christ and get the gospel to the officers that you work with. Because I don't know how anyone in emergency services can go out and do that job without being a believer, without having the Holy Spirit with you and asking Jesus to come alongside you every day.
It is a dark world in which we live, but we again are called to be salt. Now, there's always technical difficulties when dealing with technology as a whole. Sam, can you give us some background as to some of the technical difficulties that you guys faced on this most recent trip?
We had a lot more technical difficulties than usual with plane flights or technology in general. We had some instances where Ken was setting up and his PowerPoint wouldn't work and his videos wouldn't play. But the Lord being merciful, we were able to get through his presentation and people got the information that was needed and they were thankful that he came. And then on top of that, Billy, he was working on one of his presentations and he just closed his laptop to bring it over to the convention center. He opens up his laptop and it looks like his computer fried. And we didn't really know what to do until the Lord was gracious enough that he had his presentation on a flash drive and we downloaded it on Ken's computer and he was able to do his presentation with flying colors. Through all these trials and all these tribulations that we were going through overseas, that was just a small list of many things that happened. The Lord was very gracious to us and we just prayed and we prayed and that was how we fought these battles. And every single time the Lord came out on top. We just noticed a dark spiritual presence when they were trying to give this information to people. Satan didn't want that to happen. And that presentation that Billy was giving was on spiritual warfare. So it's kind of convenient that his laptop shuts off when he was going to do a presentation about spiritual warfare. It seems like he was upsetting somebody and he didn't want that information getting out. But the Lord wanted that information getting out. So we got through.
And we face technical difficulties all the time, whether recording programs or going to different churches and conferences. And the beauty is this, you know, when the difficulties come that you're right over the target and the evil one doesn't want it taking place. Thanks for covering it with prayer because Jesus is the answer. The Lord is gracious and he wants us to call upon him and he is more powerful than we can even imagine. Let's listen to Billy's take on how things were different this year.
Have you seen a change since we were there last year in just the whole dynamics of the church and what's going on, any of the enthusiasm of the attendees?
As far as the church, the reports that we get from the boots on the ground, the remnant that comes out to these conferences, they're still dealing with the same stuff. Same churches are still doing the same thing. You hear some stories of some highlights of mainly the remnant, either starting a home church or other church. Like we were there at Mark's place. They're right. Starting a new work of God. So there's highlights in that. But as far as the church in mass, it seems like the reports are they're still doing the same old thing, the same old apostasy. They're still not teaching God's word. Everybody's back that it seems like they made it through the pandemic thing and it's back to where they picked up where they left off. It's very unfortunate. But the remnant, still hungry, still wanting to be used of the Lord, still starving, as you know, for fellowship, trying to look for a healthy place. I talked to many different people there in Australia, encouraging them. And as you know, Australia, like New Zealand, it's called the Outback for a reason. A lot of these people live in the middle of nowhere. So what options they did have are gone. And they're not being lazy. They just have nothing to go to. And so we encourage them, start a home church.
You're listening to Understanding the Times. I'm Pastor Josh Schwartz, and I've got with me today to give us an update from Australia and New Zealand, Ken Michael and Sam Hatling. Guys, we just heard Pastor Billy Crone talking about the main thing being the people down under are starving for fellowship. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, time and time again, people came up to us and there just are no churches out there. I think the main message that we got out to people is they need to be the church. And we're seeing that here in America. We're seeing that even though we have 400,000 churches maybe across America, how many of them are biblically sound, that have a biblical worldview, let alone teaching Bible prophecy? And we're encouraging people, you may be in a solid church, however, they're not teaching Bible prophecy, they're not teaching eschatology, they're not going over the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation for one reason or another. So we encourage people here, even in the States, go to your pastor, say, you know what, can we start a small group on prophecy? And we've heard stories all over the country of people doing that. And then the pastor hears that more and more people are coming, and then they get involved. They start learning more about eschatology and Bible prophecy. They can come to events like we're going to have with the pastor huddle. It's very encouraging to see that. However, there really are very, very few solid churches in the world. And even now we're seeing it here in the United States.
Sam, what did you see? Were the young people that you were interacting with, were they starving for fellowship?
Absolutely. So we were speaking with our friends out there, Ellie and Hannah, and I asked them a simple question. I just said, do you see people around your age out here interested in Bible prophecy and eschatology? And all they said was no, because it doesn't pertain to their life right now. They want to go get married. They want to finish school. They want to get their job. They want to get their home. They want to start their life. And when you tell them that the Lord is coming home, instead of rejoicing, it's more like a hindrance in their plans for this life. So they don't want to hear that stuff. They still want to be Christian, but they don't want to hear about the blessed hope of the Lord coming back. And she was just like, that's why the young adults huddled together that are interested in eschatology and Bible prophecy, to show them that it's not scary and that we should be living our day-to-day life just as we're living for the Lord and keep doing what you're doing. And that's what I told them. I just said, buy a house, start a family, go to school. It's not a hindrance in your progress in life. It should be a hope of the Lord returning, but I'm still just going to live my life for the Lord as I'm waiting for his appearing. That was encouraging to them, and that was encouraging to me to hear that people around the young adults area are coming together as a remnant. All around, they're coming from this town over here or this town over here, and they're having to drive to people's houses. And then the pastor of the church is coming to these young adults group and pastoring them and discipling them on Bible prophecy, eschatology, and that was very encouraging for me.
Great. And I think the important thing is to recognize, yes, it's great to have a multi-generational church where so many people are learning from each other and the young are being discipled by the old, but it's also very important to have demographically based small groups encouraging one another in the same season of life.
Just real quick, Josh, there are little to no youth pastors over there. Mm-hmm. So they are really starving for youth pastors. They don't have the luxury of what we have over here. At least here we do have a number of millennials and younger that are getting into the pastoral field, but over there they have nothing.
And they need that. And Lord willing, in the future, we'll be able to equip more and more youth pastors, because that's a disadvantage even here, where youth pastors aren't equipped with Bible prophecy, eschatology, and the like. Now, Pastor Billy in the previous clip also talked about home churches. And like you said, Ken, we need to encourage believers to gather together to start a church. Even here in the States, if you don't have a solid church around you, be the church. Gather in one another's homes, equip and encourage using all kinds of different materials, say from Olive Tree Ministries or Pastor Billy Crone or Brandon Holthouse or others. Also, if you do have a solid church, I would encourage you, I would even exhort you to thank your pastor, to encourage your pastor for being faithful and standing strong, because I know firsthand it is very difficult to do.
The young adults are also getting their news from social media. And I think that's a big thing that we need to point out, is people around my age are scrolling and scrolling, either YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat. And I asked, where are they getting their news? They're getting it from social media. They might be getting their pastoral from their young adults group, but they're getting their Bible eschatologies from like our ministries, our shorts, because they're scrolling through social media. So I think that's an important thing that we need to understand.
It absolutely is. And we need to be in all these like-minded ministries using technology the best that we can, because the days are evil, the days are dark, and if you're a trusted source, you need to continue to keep pressing forward. Well, let's continue this conversation with Mondo Gonzalez.
Even when we go around in America, the pastors that we talk to say, the churches in our community or surrounding area, they don't teach Bible prophecy. Nope. And I think that's the main thing, and that's what they appreciate here so much, is that we're bringing the full counsel of God. I'm sure you've seen that also.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we often say that it's 28% of the Bible is prophecy. And that's why we do what we do. And we're not saying that we're the only ministries that should exist in the world at all. But when you think about what Paul said in Acts 20, to the elders at Ephesus, preach the whole counsel. So, I mean, that's 28%. And we know in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus, think about that, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And yet, as we come out here, we're like, we know that God is calling us to fulfill a very specific role, but also just hanging out with the pastors. Their churches are solid churches. But when you look out, and it's kind of in the community, if you say it that way, the definition of lost, it is so crazy. And that when the pastors are out trying to do these things, it's just like the blinders are on and the gospel just goes right over the heads of people.
Mondo's spot on. The truth is what you guys are seeing abroad is soon coming to America. It is dark around the world. And whether we like it or not, there's going to be great darkness that comes to America, but the church must stand strong.
Yeah, I believe we have a reprieve right now. And I talked with Pastor Billy Crone about this. They're really interested in what's happening in America. People want to know, they're all about Trump, and they want to know what we're up to here in America, what's going to happen over in the Middle East, what's going to happen with digital currency, the passports that they're already initiating over there. That's all coming here, but they're really fascinated with American politics, and I talked to Pastor Billy about that.
Let's listen to that conversation.
Let's switch kind of to what's going on in America. Everybody here is interested in what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
They're all interested in the political scene that's happening in America. And everyone wants to know about Donald Trump. Hey, is he the real deal? Should we support him? Should we not? What do you tell people when they ask about, hey, what's going on over there politically and what should we be doing as Christians?
Man, where do you even start, kid? But right before we came on this trip, I just finished the next documentary. Right now, we're getting ready to release Global Elites and the Antichrist Volume 2, but I finished the next documentary after that, and it's all on all things Donald Trump from a Bible prophecy point of view. And what I try to do in that, in my conversations with people, because it seems to have turned into an unhealthy lightning rod topic.
I would agree.
And they're either in one end of the spectrum or the other. You got one spectrum that if you say anything positive that Trump might be doing, oh, you voted for the Antichrist. You drunk the Kool-Aid. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, to me, some economic decisions that might turn the economy around, I would rather still do what I need to do for Christ. It's easier to do it in a better economy than a bad economy. I don't worship the economy. I don't worship that guy. I'm just saying, yeah, because it makes it easier for me to share the gospel, to get God's word out. That's just common sense.
Absolutely.
So why is it a crime if I acknowledge that? But you go to the other end of the spectrum, you say, hey, man, the first day in Trump's office, he launches the AI Stargate program, $500 billion, not million, that's a half a trillion, Ken, dollars. And that has everything to do with Bible prophecy. It's going to take AI, ramp it on steroids. AI is what you need for the Antichrist kingdom. That's easy, demonstrable. And he just gave it the biggest boost in the history of mankind. And so here's my point. I say that, oh, you're a communist. You're anti-Trump. No, I'm not. And right. So what I'm saying is, and what I try to accomplish in this next documentary is, can we come back to a biblical balance? Can we just talk about this? When Biden was doing stuff wrong, we had no problem talking about it. Why is it illegal to talk about Bible prophecy related topics? I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose.
Right.
I'm not saying he wakes up every day, I'm going to do something for the anti. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, can't we at least talk about it?
Whether we like it or not, here and abroad, President Trump is a polarizing figure. How do we deal with that?
We can look at all the geopolitical scenarios we want, but what we told people over there is keep your eye on what's happening. Obviously, we want to know what's happening in the country and around the world. However, we need to stick to the Bible. We need to focus on getting people to Christ in a saving relationship with Christ. Rarely do you hear over there, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the message we have to get out to everyone, all of our friends, family, co-workers. While we still have time, we have a reprieve. Let's get busy getting the gospel out there.
Amen. Understand what's going on. Understand the times, but keep the first thing, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the first thing. Friends, we understand that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the truth. And he says further on in Romans 10:13 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That is the gospel message. Friend, if you have not trusted in Jesus, today is the day. As best you know how, say, I believe Jesus is who he proved himself to be. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I want to trust him for my salvation. Remember this, and this is a great conversation that we've had, but we are all called ambassadors for Christ. We are to be his representatives wherever we go. So friend, I encourage you, stand strong, be Christ's ambassador. Sam, Ken, thank you so much for sacrificing time, energy, and all kinds of other things to go to Australia and New Zealand to share the message of Jesus.
It was an honor and a privilege to go over there. I can't wait. Lord willing, we'll go back.
Amen.
All glory to the Lord.
You are the love song we'll sing forever.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. The psalmist says that our times are in his hands. He knows the end from the beginning. God is never early and never late as he orchestrates all things to fall into place.